What is up, team? Welcome back to the Red Storm Rap Reaction Podcast. I'm Pat Kane, and St. John's just won an impressive Big East opener against Sean Miller and the Xavier Musketeers. 81-66, a game St. John's had pretty much total control from start to finish. A defensive performance we haven't seen in a little bit now. 18 turnovers forced against Xavier. Xavier only shot 35% from the floor. So good to see us win a game with our defensive approach being the catalyst. Aside from one Joel Soriano, who was by far the most impressive player on the court tonight, and probably in the state of New York and maybe even the whole Northeast region of the United States. I mean, the guy was an absolute monster out there and has continued to be one this whole season. Excuse me. No Cole tonight. He's probably, you know, just trying to recover from a few too many drinks, I'm sure, the night before, celebrating the big podcast me and him had with The Eye on the Storm with Dave and Frank. I'm sure you guys are all subscribed to that podcast. They do a great job. We had a nice little recap of the season so far. If you haven't listened to that, I encourage you guys to go do that. I'd like to think that it would be an easy choice for a player of the game, so I will not even waste our time to announce one. But nonetheless, Joel Soriano had a huge double-double. Few thunderous dunks at the end of that game kind of put his stamp on it. Sooner or later, he's going to get called for a technical foul for hanging on the rim. But until that happens, I'm certainly enjoying it. Few highlights. I thought it was nice to see such a evenly spread out scoring distribution, although I still think sometimes the ball gets a little bit too sticky. Danis Jenkins had a few beautiful plays, hit a few good shots, played pretty well defensively. He was active at least, but still too many times I thought he was holding on the ball too much. Took a few unwarranted jump shots, I thought, in rush situations, which for a lead guard and a point guard, when we've had inability to hold leads in the past, tonight when we had a lead, I thought, you know, in the beginning of that second half, there was a few occasions where he just took a quick three or a quick jump shot, turned it over a few too many times in a short stretch there, where a senior leader point guard who's certainly talented enough to play that role has to bear down and, you know, lead by example just as much. Didn't come back to hurt us tonight, but could be an unfortunate lesson down the road if we don't shore it up before then. We did see some zone tonight, some 2-3, in addition to our our helter skelter full court pressure. Which did lead to some turnovers, the full length of the court, inbounding the basketball, some steals off the dribble. And then Joel was a brick wall in the back by the paint tonight. Of course, he may have got away with some leniency from the officials. If he asked Sean Miller, he certainly would think that was the case. But he had six blocks, was just the total difference. I mean, I'm not sure if there was a huge difference between every other player on each team tonight other than Joel Soriano's presence. When he wasn't scoring, he was drawing attention. He was drawing fouls. He was making plays for others. He was a complete game changer. And it seems to me somehow he's getting bigger and bigger each game. Or at least it just seems like he's getting that much more comfortable and he's taking up that much more space and he's owning it. And it's just been awesome to watch. So happy to see a guy who's been in college now for 5 years, has improved each step along the way. And it looks like things go as they can, he could end on a really high note, not only as a player, but with a good team. So fingers crossed there. I thought maybe the young Sun player tonight who won't get mentioned as one of the guys in double figures was Glenn Taylor. Again, just solid all-around play. There was a few instances in the second half. It got caught on the highlight tip going in the timeout of Xavier making a couple baskets, and they both happened to be on Taylor, but I was of the belief that was really good defense, and sometimes guys just make shots. And if you got your hands up and you're between them and the basket and you force a less than a 40% likely shot of going in, and somehow goes in, you know, tip a cap and get back on the other end. But I love the way he plays, doesn't force things, can help handle the ball, can help bring the ball up against pressure, can help distribute in the half court, helps on the boards. Solid three when it's, you know, in space and in rhythm. Not a dead-eye guy, not a guy that's going to get it off real quick in traffic, but certainly some guy you have to respect. And he just does a lot for the team that doesn't always get picked up in the box score, in my opinion. Naheem Aline had a nice game in the starting lineup, certainly offered a lot in terms of scoring the basketball, solid defensively. it's been mentioned by others, but he's just a lot stronger than you would, you know, originally think for like a 6'4", two guard. He moves bodies around there, and on the other end, he just doesn't get moved. Can help on the boards, can help defensively, can certainly hit jump shots. You know, I'm a sucker for lefties, but for some reason, I just can't fall in love with this jump shot. It's not one I love to watch. But he's certainly confident shooting, and he's proven to be a good shooter. So keep on shooting Naheem, and I'll just suffer through it. Let's just take a look at the box score. See what I got here. Make Cole proud. 81-66. Naheem actually was second in the team in scoring tonight behind Joel, who had 18 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists, and 6 blocks. Again, giving Cole the big old Mutombo finger wave for saying he wasn't a rim protector. He has certainly been one of late. All 5 starters, you can see the plus-minus differential. Not as impressive for the bench. You know, that's sometimes what happens. You know, the reason why a lot of those guys aren't starting, and there's time that I'm sure where they're going up against Xavier starters, and it's not like they got blown out of the water. Big shout-out to Drissa Traore, who had 5 points in the first half, and they weren't throwaway points. It was a 3 and a solid putback. When the game was certainly, you know, still a game. So shout out to Drissa. Continues to put in a lot of effort, continues to work hard, and has definitely improved as a basketball player. Chris Ledlam, 13 points, 6 rebounds, 4 for 11 from the field. He had a couple really impressive physical plays. There was that one in the second half where he came out of the scrum almost like a running back with the ball, cradling it in one arm, and had a nice pass to Joel at the very end, who finished with a dunk. He's a big physical guy. When you know that a dude's a big dude, when that center on Xavier was able to knock Ledlam down with a screen, he was a big guy, but he was beaten up pretty well himself by Joel tonight, and the announcers a few times were pretty harsh, I thought, but hey, we were on the better side of it, so we'll take it. Dingle off the bench tonight, 4 for 12 from the field. Nothing else besides that, and one rebound, 24 minutes. Offensively, I kind of like the look of him coming off the bench in terms of how it fit the balance wise, but still something's missing in his game, and I can't claim to have been so familiar with his game prior to coming to St. John's, aside from like watching what I could back on highlights, and I watched them over and over and over again, and I watched those, but you really don't learn as much as you can from watching guys struggle and watching their down games, and he just doesn't seem completely comfortable out there on the offensive end. The first trip to the free throw line, he missed those 2 free throws, and he was almost taking jump shots from the free throw line. He looked very uncomfortable. This is a guy who was over an 80% free throw shooter last year. He struggled so far to date. So I still think there's some kinks to be worked out there, and I think that's also a really potential positive for where this team could be. You know, if we haven't unleashed his total capabilities yet and what he might become as he gets more comfortable, there might be a higher level this St. John's team can reach. And a lot of people, I'm sure, believe that same way. And I bet you know, Jordan believes that too and is pretty confident there. And I'm looking forward to seeing him continue to get better. I'm wondering if this will be a mainstay for him to be coming off the bench. You know, Coach Patino seemingly doesn't mind changing the starting lineup pretty often. But we'll see what he does with next and how it may or may not affect Engel. I thought Ejiofor had a nice near and one in the first half. Nice, tough shot of the basket through contact, kind of rimmed out, unlucky break a little bit, I thought. Didn't get too many minutes in the second half, only 5 overall. But I think we got something there in terms of at least a body we can go to. At the end of this season, I'm not so sure, but next 2 years, I think it's definitely a guy who will be a piece. And I think, you know, as a backup center, he won't be the worst backup center in the Big East this season. I'm pretty confident in that. Wiltshire, not too much minutes tonight. I'd like to see him get a little more trust from coach, to be honest with you. I don't think Dennis is, you know, one that we can't have off the court for a few stretches throughout the game. And Simeon would be, you know, benefited if he were able to get some run this year and not just learn from the bench. Not that it's always got to be the case, and I understand completely in terms of winning now, but I don't think the discrepancy between him and what's out there is so huge that he can't get a few more minutes. Who else? Jenkins had 11 points, five assists, two turnovers, a few really nice passes. But like I said, I thought a few unforced errors and a few questionable shots, but still a really good overall game from him. And he really does, you know, bust his butt out there. The guy works really, really hard. Credit to him there. 81-66. We got UConn next, if I'm not mistaken, who got taken to the woodshed tonight by Seton Hall. So I'm not sure if that's a good thing or bad thing for St. John's. I like to think that momentum is a key, that is a factor, but I, you know, a lot can be said for a team getting refocused after getting beat up like UConn just did. I don't think that whatever the case may be, whoever has the advantage in terms of talent, to whoever has the advantage in terms of momentum, that UConn on the road is not a game that we can't win. I think we can win there. And last year is, you know, you can throw that away, but it just shows you, you know, even in games where teams seemingly have no shot, they always do. But I just don't think it's that would be that crazy if St. John's were to go into UConn and take them out. Interesting to see the battle between Joel and Cligan. Obviously, two huge guys. Joel is playing the best basketball of his life right now. Would love to see him take it at him. I don't want him to, you know, just think it's him versus Donovan over there, though. I want him to play team basketball, but I do think he should take that personally. I think that would be a huge stamp if he was able to outshine him in a St. John's win. I'm going to wrap this up early, guys. I do appreciate you tuning in. As always, please like, subscribe, comment, do whatever it is you have to do. And people ask for these stupid favors, but I do appreciate it. It's the Red Storm Rap Reaction Podcast. I'm Pat Kane for Eugene Lawrence. Shout out Gino. Man, some guys aren't going to love that. We might hurt our shooting percentage next game. But hey, the guy was a passer. This has been Pat Kane. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.